Welcome everybody to the Marlington School Board regular meeting, February 21st, 2019. Call meeting to order, 7:02 p.m. We'll start with an invocation. Adam Ryan, is he here? There he is. Adam, come on up to the podium. Yep.
All right, please bow your heads. Lord, we pray that you watch over our community. We pray that you guide the leaders we have chosen in the right direction. Please help those leaders to make decisions with the community's best interests in mind. We pray that you help us continue to grow in harmony. Lastly, Lord, we thank you for a community that can come together, work together to solve problems and allow us to prosper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Adam. Good kid. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll read the mission statement tonight. In collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local School District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards with effective intervention to challenge every student. Roll call, please.
Carolyn Gaber.
Here.
Thomas Hipley.
Here.
Karen Humphreys.
Here.
Scott Mason.
Here.
Mark Ryan.
Here. Adoption of meeting agenda. Any additions or corrections?
No, sir.
Recommend that the Marlington Local Board of Education adopt the following agenda for the February 21st, 2019 meeting.
I so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Carolyn Gaber.
Yes.
Thomas Hipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphreys.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. We'll start with special presentations. Mr. Knoll.
All right. We have a special guest in attendance tonight with us, Mr. DeMonte. Why don't you come on up here? Mr. DeMonte Thomas, I know most of you in the room know him. The board has decided to give him a nice little resolution in his honor. I'm going to read that to you. Here we go. Board of Education, Marlington Local School District, Stark County, Ohio, met tonight on the 21st day of February in the auditorium of Marlington High School with the following board members present: Ms. Gaber, Mr. Hepburn, Ms. Humphreys, Mr. Ryan, Dr. Mason. Whereas DeMonte Thomas was a December 2012 graduate of the Marlington Local Schools who received an athletic scholarship to the University of Michigan. And whereas DeMonte was selected as an undrafted free agent by the Denver Broncos on May 11, 2017, and became the first Marlington athlete to play in the National Football League. Whereas DeMonte Thomas has founded the DeMonte Thomas Community Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to reaching out and improving the lives of youth who face difficult challenges in their lives, with the main focus to help, benefit, and enrich the youth of Alliance, Ohio, and its surrounding areas. However, also to strive to impact as many communities across the United States as well. Therefore, now be it resolved that the Marlington Local Board of Education wishes to congratulate DeMonte Thomas on both his academic and athletic accomplishments and send out our best wishes for a long career in the NFL. And we also commend him for his commitment to his alma mater and community and wish him much success with his foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, DeMonte Thomas. There's going to come a time when your alma mater is going to call. It could be you give up your time, your talents, your finances, speak to students like he's going to do all day tomorrow. And I tell graduates, when that call comes to you, make sure you answer it. This young man right here has answered the call to get back to Marlington. And we're so proud of him. We love the Denver Broncos as well. All right, congratulations.
Okay, we'll start next with Students of the Month.
Okay, at the high school, we select a male and female to be Alliance Elk Lodge Team of the Month. This one goes to Molly Luivi. You're Molly? Molly is the daughter of Trevor and Marty. She is a thrower on the track and field team for 4 years. She's been a letter winner for 3 years and a captain. She's run cross country, junior and senior year, a member of Character Counts, a member of National Honor Society, a member of Spanish National Honor Society, and she throws indoor track. Her future plans are attending Kent State University, and she's either going into women's health nursing or mental health counseling. That is Molly. Our male this time is Adam Ryan. Adam, I know where you get your haircut, by the way. He is a son of Shirley and Mark Ryan. He's a student council interact. He has been a part of Duke Street. He's been a 4-year varsity soccer player and tennis player. He's involved in the Sacred Heart and Mary Alder services, and he's also a 4-H member and part of Guy's group and Drama Dudes. That's why he's throwing his hair out of here. So that is Adam Ryan.
Ethan is the son of Jessica Showers and Todd Bray. He plays for Bryanston Select Soccer, outdoor and indoors. He plans to play for the high school team next year. He's also in the choir and a member of our chamber ensemble. Ethan's teachers had this to say about him. He is so kind to other students and is a quiet leader in the classroom. He is very responsible and respectful. He has a great voice and helps to lead his section in the choir. And I love seeing his smiling face and his positive energy every day in the choir. That was 8th grader Ethan Bray. Our next student is 8th grader Sophia Redd. There she is now, Sophia. Right. Sophia is a daughter of Tom and Melissa Redd. Her favorite class is reading with Mrs. Price. Sophia plays for Ryanston Select Soccer, both outdoor and indoors, and plans to play for the high school team next year. She also runs track for MMS. Sophia's teachers had this to say about it. Sophia is a hardworking student, and she is kind to all her classmates. She is motivated and dedicated to her studies. Sophia is an exemplary leader here at MMS. She leads by example and always has a positive attitude and a positive impact on those around her on a daily basis. She is very personable. She is very kind with everyone that she crosses paths with on a daily basis. Sophia Redd is a quiet, respectful, reliable student. She doesn't like to draw attention to herself, but whenever I call on her, she's ready to participate in classroom activities. She always gets her work done and pays attention to everything we do in class, and I can count on her to work well with anyone in our class and any kind of partner or group work. Sophia is a very kind girl in my class. She's a very hard worker and always has done her best. Now when I see her in the hallways, she always smiles and says hello. And she's a great soccer player too. Eighth grader Sophia Redd.
If anybody needs a meeting agenda, Mr. Siders is in the back with extra agendas. If you raise your hand, he'll stop by and give one to you as he walks up and down the aisle. Okay, we'll start with administrators' reports. Curriculum update with Ms. Carol Sutton.
Committed 700 titles to us, and within 2 months they had upped that commitment to 1,000. I am absolutely thrilled to tell you that they have in 1 year upped that commitment by almost 600 titles. This is at no cost to the district. The cost is borne by the Rodman Library. A significant portion of their budget for new purchases and titles has been allocated for increasing Access 360 for our students. So you can see, might be a little bit hard for you to read, but our students are using it. The middle school leads the way. They love Access 360. To date, since school started, they have 1,600 logins. That's 1,600 titles that their students have checked out. Washington is the next highest with 600 logins since the start of school. Lexington with 375, Marlboro with about 100, and the high school with about 50. So we're looking constantly to find ways for our students to read, and this is just yet another way to get a book in their hands. If you're not familiar, these are the magic walls, and this is how you would log in based on your building. The next thing I always try to let the board know about the professional development that's going on in the district. February is the what they used to call EdTech or Ohio Tech. Now it's OETC. OETC 19 was attended by 9 members of the Marlington professional staff, and we had the distinct privilege of one or two presenting. Audrey presented at the OETC, which is a big, big deal. She was up against, in her session, presenters from Apple, Microsoft, Google. Her session was filled. I had the privilege of attending that session. There was not an empty seat, and she kept everyone over about 15 minutes because they were so excited and had about 100 questions. And I think she's going to have some visitors about the programming that she's doing in elementary with elementary STEAM. Wanted to let everybody know that our one-to-one continues. We have deployed one-to-one devices in grades 3 and 4 with iPads, and they're also using the learning management system in grades 3 and 4. And the K-2, we're not going to leave them out. They will be getting class sets, and those will be managed by our central management system, and we're hoping to have those K-2 class sets out by the end of the month. So again, these are just updates, and we're so thankful for the technology that we have in the district. I'd like to give a big shout out to Mrs. Shaw. She puts on the science fair every year. This year we had 58 entries, 13 with superior ratings. Those students will go on in mid-March to compete at the district science fair at Mount Union. The top individual project winner was Nathan Proctor, who studied flame retardant effectiveness, and he won a prize of $100. The top team project was Allison Walker and Evelyn Bullock, who studied in conventional versus green detergents and their effect on wildlife, and they each won $50. We're very thankful for the Washington Ruitans, who generously donate all of the prize money. Finally, I'd like to remind you that February is Black History Month. I thought this quote was very apropos, especially in the current climate that we have in the country. Black history should not stand alone. It's part of our American history. And then I wanted to send us off with a quote from our famous Rosa Parks. You must never be fearful about what you're doing when it's right. Thank you.
Good evening. Again, thank you for giving us the opportunity to present some stuff about the middle school tonight to you. Every student at the middle school has academic assists, 30 minutes opposite their lunch. And it's an opportunity for them, obviously, to get academic help from a teacher, but also every teacher in their grade level has academic assists so they can get passes and go to other teachers who are having trouble in that class and get extra help. By the eighth grade, students were getting a little bit restless and just they're getting things done in academic assist, but they wanted something more. And the staff recognized that and began surveying the students to find something else they could do with that time in addition to just their work. A lot of these students are doing a great job of getting their stuff taken care of, and so they had some extra time. Through a survey, the teachers found some different areas that the kids were really interested in and wanted to do more and learn more and be more active in their school community and their community in general. And so we have these four young students here. They're going to talk to you about these different clubs that work during these academic assists if they have all their work time. So let's see if I can work this. Our first club is going to be presented by Garrett Koontz, and this is our environmental club led by Mr. Morrison.
So my name is Garrett, and I'm part of the environmental club, and we really want to get some things done this year. So one thing we really wanted to get done was to restore and maintain a safe and educational walking trail behind Marlington, because it's kind of falling apart and there's no really trails back there. We also wanted to help educate current and future generations on the environment that resides in our community. We wanted to provide a safe and enjoyable place to exercise and witness great nature around them. And something we already started this year. So we actually presented a presentation to Mr. Evans to try to get some money. We looked at different types of deer feeders and bird feeders that we can build. We started during the beginning of the year to clean up the trails and kind of break up leaves and take fallen branches out. And we also started looking at different birdhouse plans. And some target birds that we were trying to get were bluebirds, screech owl, and house wrens.
Good job, Gary. Thank you. Our next club is the Big Brothers and Big Sisters Club, led by Ms. Robinson. And we've got Brandon Scheiben here to tell us all about that group.
Hi, my name is Brandon. I'm in the Big Brother and Big Sisters Club. In this club, we develop positive relationships between the 8th graders and 6th graders, offer support with one-on-one help. We are held accountable for our work first. We must take care of our responsibilities before helping the 6th graders. We love watching them gain confidence in math as we work together, and we also enjoy it just as much as they do.
Good job, Brandon. This has been a really neat group. It's been really neat to see the 6th graders. They're really disappointed on days when these kids can't come out and help them, and it's done a lot of good things for them. And then students like Brandon, I've learned a lot from it as well by giving back and helping. Our next group is led by Mr. Rizzoletti. We have Ms. Olivia Todd here to talk to us about our mock travel group.
Hi, my name is Olivia Todd. Our mock travel group team has a prosecution and defense line with both attorneys and witnesses. Attorneys get to question the witnesses, and witnesses have to answer according to their witness statement. Students learn to debate, think critically, and work as a team. It really teaches us how to use teamwork to our best ability and how to think outside the box. We are preparing for our Ohio Men's Walk Trail Showcase in May. We get to go on a field trip at the end of the year in May.
The students have traditionally in 8th grade done a trial setting for one of their chapters in their curriculum, and they really enjoy it. And so this was a chance for students to go a little bit further and learn more about it, practice those skills. And then Mr. Rizzo was able to find an opportunity for them to compete as well. So they're really excited about that. Our last group is a very special group, and this is the Be the Change You Wish to See in the World group. And this is led by Mrs. Price. And we have Tiffany Schuler here to talk to us.
I'm Tiffany Schuler.
Hi,
my name is ourselves by bettering the world around us. It is our goal to spread kindness through the words we choose to use, speak with others, and act of service. Some of our activities have included placing quotes and words of positivity on TVs in the comments areas, giving each student a candy cane and a positive message, and our current project is selling donuts in the gym on Thursday morning to raise money for blessings in a backpack. Some organizational products that Mrs. Whitebush needs in our MMS
program. And these groups are led by the students. The teachers truly just facilitate what's going on. The students bring the ideas they have to present to me if they're trying to gain some funds to do some of their projects and things. So I come in and kind of get a presentation and ask them questions and send them back to research stuff. And none of this is for a grade. These are just kids wanting to do something more. We have traditional academic settings as well, so they have a choice as to where they want to go during that time and work on what they need to work on. I also want to thank the audience, but also Mr. Gold for this opportunity, because if any of you think about being a middle school student, what it would be like to stand up here in the auditorium with a mic and speak to a lot of people, it takes a lot of courage. I think these four did a great job and learned a lot tonight as well.
Okay, next item, Business Advisory Council update.
All right, it's that time of the year again where I need to talk to you about the Business Advisory Council. And we, as you remember, work with our ESC on this part. At the last meeting, a gal named Barb Bennett, who is from the Stark Chamber, came and talked a little bit about what's going on in her world. And she emphasized that we have 16,000 students currently from Stark County attending post-secondary schools in the county. We also have 1,800 students a year involved in career tech, which, as you all know, we are a big part of. Another gal from the director, who is the director of the Stark County District Library, presented, and she reminded everybody in the room about the early literacy and how focused the school district we should be on that. As we all know, research clearly shows that early literacy is an essential component for a student's success. And then the last speaker was Joel Harris from a company called TomTod. He basically came up and gave a presentation about middle school students, which was part of what the presentation you saw tonight. And he said, you know, it's a challenging time for these kiddos transitioning from being a child to a young adult. And basically what they try to do in their program is they offer a uniquely situated and suited program to middle schoolers that partners with schools and community resources. And one of their program philosophies is you can do things that matter, choose to do those things. So just a brief update from the business advisory. Gotcha.
Okay, the next item is public participation. We have one scheduled speaker. Is there anybody in the audience that'd like to sign up or indicate they want to speak tonight? If you'd like to have your name, sir?
Leslie Cherry.
Anybody else? Okay. At this point, if folks want to leave, this would be an opportunity to do so. We're getting into public speaks and then the nuts and bolts of the meeting. So we'll give you a few minutes to exit if you'd like to. And Jeff, if you want to make your way up and...
Where would you guys like me up there?
Yeah.
Can I be down here?
If you'd like to, sure.
Is that microphone working? I have to use this one here.
Use this one, Jeff.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
My name's Jeff Powers. I want to thank the board, Mr. Noel, the community for allowing me to speak. I'm a mover, so I apologize if I give you guys a rush. I feel compelled to discuss what I want to talk about tonight because I have specialized background and knowledge training in what this board and what this community has been going through for over a decade. And up until this point, I have not felt that compulsion to come out and talk about it publicly because we have voted up or down on all of the issues, but at this point, we're no longer doing that. The board is going to go forward with what their plan is without the public participation. I find that shameful. The reason I have experience, training, knowledge, and skill is I am a civil engineer that has worked on OSFC school projects back in the day. I've also worked on Arlington projects. Does anybody know that? Anybody? There are people in this community that know true information about what it costs to build schools. The cost estimate that was done in 2013 by OFCC is false, misleading, misrepresentations, lies. You can pick. I don't care. But Jeff, how do you know? In 2005-2006, I was the engineer that worked on the Washington Elementary Wastewater Treatment Plant. I'm the guy that did the bid tabulation sheet. I sat in the little building over here and advised the then administration on which bidder to pick. Anybody have any idea how much that project cost? Anybody? You guys remember? $200,000 to do that project. Fast forward to 2013. OFCC estimate. Anybody have any idea how much Lexington is estimated? Anybody? $410,000 over a 200% plus markup. But Jeff, maybe that's just, we got a good deal. Maybe, but we have another point in time. Across the street, 2016, wastewater treatment plant, middle school, $325,000. But Jeff, that's more. It is. It's 50% bigger. $200,000 for Washington, $300,000, 50% more. Add a little bit of inflation, $325,000 seems to make sense. Rational. I can rationalize that. The problem is that the numbers that are being founded on everything that we're doing now are false. Misrepresentations. You guys want to add any? Lies? Deceit? All to push an agenda, not based on reality. Now, if we want a new school, I am not opposed to a new school. The problem is the very premise that we need a new school is founded on the very fact that those estimates are true and accurate. They're not. Middle school, construction project, estimate, $6 million. Actual cost, $2.5. 200% plus markup. See the theme? Not real data. In engineering world, we call this garbage in, is garbage out. If you make decisions on bad information, what comes out the backside is bad. Again, I'm not opposed to a new school. I voted yes for issue 3. I had a big sign on my property that said issue 3. I'm the one that started the petition for saving Marlboro because the premise that we're using is false for the new school. And I think that the premise is also false for closing Marlboro. How are we going to save any money? Has anybody heard any information on how we're going to save any money by closing Marlboro? We got over 530 signatures inside of 2.5 weeks in the coldest, darkest part of the year. When people aren't bumping into their neighbors. People do not want Marlboro closed. What we want is a good plan based on the data. The only thing that rattles in my brain about this. It's just so frustrating. And I don't want to be the one to pick which way it is. Either the board and Mr. Cole are just blindly using the estimates from OFCC, in which case they're incompetent. I don't think that's true. I think you're all very smart individuals. I don't think that's true. Or the other side. They're using bad data they know to be bad, but it's overinflated for a reason, in which case they're lying. Incompetence? Lying. I don't want to pick. At the end of the day, I don't want to go home and tell my kids, you know what? The people that are in charge of you during the day, that keep you safe, educate you, are lying or incompetent, is not a safe place for me. I don't want to say that. The problem we here have today is that we're basing all of this on bad data. Get good data. One of the things I do is I work heavily with Boy Scouts, I'm Cub Master and Cub Scout, Cub Master Matt's here, heavily with Boy Scout troop. When we have a meeting, we talk about being lost in the woods. What do? Does anybody know what you do? Do we have any scouts in here? Anybody? You want to guess? What do you do? What do you do when you're lost in the woods? You stop. You go back to where you once knew something to be true, and you find your way. This community is lost. Two of you are coming up for re-election. There's a bond levy where Noble, I want to pass. If you guys close Marlboro, what can happen between now and November is up to you guys. If you guys do the right thing, I will back you. I will back every one of you. But if you close Marlboro, you guys are going to be in trouble. Two of you guys are going to lose your seats. That's not a safe place for you. That's more destruction to our community. If anybody has any questions, they can ask me. If anybody has a third option other than lying or incompetence, I want to hear it. Tell me. It's my 10 minutes. Shout it out. I implore upon this board, do the right thing. Save our school. Don't close Marlboro. Let's come up with a good plan. If we want a new school, let's get a good plan to do it. I will help you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. You want to go to the podium or you want to just... It's your choice.
I don't matter. I'll stay right here.
Hi, my name is Leslie Cherry. I have kids in.
Hey, Leslie.
All through 3 months. All through the schools. Me and my elementary, this is mostly the board, I'm sorry. Me and my elementary school principal came to an agreement on my son's behavior plan. I then told my son what he needed to do to be rewarded. He did what he needed to do, and then the reward was taken. My then principal, I'm not gonna name him, he just goes to one of the elementary schools, then told my son I lied to him. He never agreed to it, called me a liar to my son, then told my wife I was lying. So I tried to do the right thing, talked to the superintendent. The answer I get from the superintendent is, I'm not gonna micromanage my principals. So what am I supposed to do? I try to do the right thing, talk to the superintendent, I'm then told I'm not gonna micromanage. I got a guy telling my son that I'm a liar, telling my wife I'm a liar. I know you all got kids. You don't want somebody telling your kids that you're a liar. You know, how's he supposed to tell them, trust me? I'm telling them to behave in school, do the right thing, you'll be rewarded. And then I'm a liar for it. I mean, how am I supposed to help the school if the school's not going to help me? That's all I got to say. I need to know, what am I supposed to do next?
Thanks, Leslie. Thank you. That's all we have. Okay, moving on. Old business. No old business.
No, sir.
Okay, next item is new business. We're going to start with a presentation from Mr. Knoll on the elementary consolidation.
All right, thank you.
Would you like us to?
Yeah, you know, ma'am, we have some seats here. Absolutely. First of all, thank you for coming tonight. We really appreciate you being here. Now, how about this? Just stuck in my presentation somehow. You see that? Okay. I'm gonna find the perpetrator. Probably a child sitting out there. I was told I went viral. Not sure what that means. All right, but I thought that was cute over yesterday's snow day. But anyway, on a serious note, I want to start by thanking our administrative team and supervisors. We have been talking about consolidation now for over 6 months. It's been a lot of time, a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations, and most recently, within the last month, it has been a ton of work. The board, as I'm going to talk about here in a minute, gave us a different direction last month, said be ready to present tonight, and we're ready. But most of my folks are sitting right up here in the front, and I really need to thank them for everything they've done to get us to here to this point today. What I'm going to do is, if you've been coming to board meetings, a lot of this is going to be repetition, so I'm just going to kind of summarize where we've been for about the last year with different meetings and conversations with the board. I'm going to talk to you about why consolidation, why is the board getting us to where we're at, and then I'm going to give you the plan. All right, so that's kind of what we got here for tonight. So here's the first thing. In March of last year, so we're about a year out,
The members of the Building and Grounds Committee asked the administration to take a look at what would be involved in a consolidation from 3 to 2 elementary schools if that bond issue in November didn't pass. And at that point, we were talking specifically about 2 elementaries in grade level bands, a K-2 building and a 3-4-5, for example. In April, we came to the board meeting and we had a good, healthy discussion on what the consolidation elementary buildings would look like. We talked a lot about declining enrollment, those numbers, and we talked a lot about what's that grade level band going to look like. And then if you remember on the front page of Lions Review on April 21st, the article you see up front there, I believe it was on the front page, if I remember correctly, kind of outlining what the board had talked about that evening. We came to May, and the Building and Grounds meeting, the two members asked me, please confirm for a second time the educational spaces in each of the 3 buildings. I had my 3 elementary principals go around on their own, and I went with them a second time, and I asked them to count, how many educational spaces do you have where you can teach 24 kids? Now, closets don't count. Okay, that wasn't what was on the agenda. But based on that, these are the number of educational spaces we had at all 3 buildings. On August 16th, the Building and Grounds meeting got together again. And at that point, the board had said, hey, we're looking and we decided consolidation is where we're going to go. We're either going to go 3-1 based on the bond issue passing, or we're going to go 3-2 if it doesn't come to fruition. The board called a special board meeting on September the 25th, and at that special board meeting, which was held at Marlboro, we rolled out what type of savings we thought we would have based on personnel due to the consolidation. And at that meeting, the board also said, we'll change gears a little bit, that Marlboro will be used as an elementary school if the bond issue passed in November. In October, the Building and Grounds meeting, Mr. Jones and I talked about these consolidation numbers. Again, Mr. Jones and Mrs. Sutton, the ones that kind of put that together. And at that point, we did not include anything with utility supplies or any contracted services in those estimates. If you're a parent in the district, you remember getting a letter from me that had both of these artifacts in it. First of all, a letter on the left, which basically summarized the discussion from the board saying, due to decreased enrollment, in order to be fiscally responsible with our tax dollars, this is where we're heading. And if you remember, if you look at the picture on the right, if the bond issue passed, we were going to keep all 3 elementaries open for a couple years until that building was built. If the bond issue did not pass that November, the board was moving forward with consolidation, going down to 2. I had put on there specific grade level bands, but also said, you know, that was still kind of up for discussion depending on numbers of where the board wanted to go. But I believe we handed out to our kiddos K-5, which is usually what we do. Middle school, high school, we usually mail. Some of those things don't get home if you have a middle school or high school kiddo. Also about that time, I put out a News and Views, which kind of summarized the bond campaign and kind of what all the pieces and parts were of that, the dollars and cents. In that News and Views, I put a fact sheet in there, which basically summarized the whole issues with elementary buildings. And number 8 basically just repeated again what was in that letter. The bond issue passed, we're keeping all 3. If not, we're going to go consolidate, we're going to use Lexington and Washington as those elementary schools moving forward. Fast forward to January 14th, I wanted to bring in our elementary parents because I wanted to hear some input from them, what their concerns were, some comments on if we have a K-2 building over here, and if we have a 3-4-5 building over here, what's on your mind? What concerns do you have? And we got a nice turnout that evening, broke down into small groups, got a lot of feedback. I put committee notes online, on our website, also the survey results. We did a quick little online survey for folks that couldn't come to that meeting. And basically what we heard was this: hey, we're concerned that we might have 2 kids in different buildings. That was the big one. I have a second grader and a fifth grader, 2 different spots. Transportation, class size, and last year. And at the end of the day, the basic discussion that we got, consensus was, can you just have 2 K-5 buildings? Is that a possibility? Well, fast forward to last month's meeting. The board and I, we sat down, we listened, we looked at the survey results, we went over all the information collected from different meetings and small groups. And at that point, the board's direction was, we're going to change plans. We want you to come back tonight in February here and talk about Washington being a K-5 and Lexington being a K-5 voting moving forward. That was my directive from last month, which brings us to here. I shot home a quick parent letter around the 23rd of January, just kind of summarizing all that, just to make sure parents kind of knew, hey, that was the game plan. I told them all that stuff was online, take a little peek at. I also talked about tonight was the night that we were going to kind of roll everything out for you. So that's a quick synopsis of how we got here. That's almost a year, not everything, but a year's worth of discussion and conversation with the board. All right, so my consolidation, why are we here? May of 18, our former treasurer put some data together. And for the first time, it really was an eye-opening experience for me. So here's what she put out. In 1999, we had 2,056 kids in Marlin, okay, 99. We have a with OEI and without, and OEI stands for open enrollment in. Those are kiddos like from Alliance that come to Arlington or West Ranch or Lemuria, okay? So obviously in 1999, we have open enrollment, okay, because the numbers were the same. But if you fast forward to 2018, on the left-hand side, we had 2,195 total kids in the district. 1,833 are Arlington residents. So you can see what's happening to us. There's a lot less of us as kids. What's really helping us survive is open enrollment. But from 99 to 2018, there's 1,000 less district kids in Marlington. And like I said, for the first time, that got my attention. Okay, I'm a 1984 graduate, sat in here. There were 263 kids in my class who graduated that year. And some of you graduated, you might remember yours as well. But sadly, those numbers are going down. Here's some really important numbers. This is where we sit here today. All right, once again, talking about decreasing student enrollment. On the left-hand side is our current numbers. You see those numbers in red? Those aren't good. For 4 years now, we have had 150 kids or less, and that includes open enrollment. In the middle there, it says OEI, those are open enrollment kids coming in. On the far right are just the kids that live in this district. And I tell you what, our poor first graders, we don't even have 100 of them. I got 99. But as you can see there, another kindergarten class coming in of 150 is not going to be a good thing. Okay, what's helping us really make it is open enrollment. We had a study done through a company called Future Think. Basically, what they look at is they look at all those different things on the left and all about the reading one too. But they take all this data and they project what Arlington's going to look like in the next 10 years. All right? I know those numbers are hard to see, but it's basically flatlined all the way through 2026. And sadly, if you can see these numbers there that are in the middle there, those are our numbers that we currently have. Their projections in 16 weren't even accurate. We're lower than what they have projected based on all that data they collect. This is another piece of that puzzle. Basically, the blue is how many kids total in Arlington, not just elementary. And as you can see, it has us flatlined again, all the way up to 26. So the numbers moving forward don't look good for us. And that's the conversation and the debate that the board's been having basically for almost the last year. Okay, so you ready? Here we go. Here's the game plan. All right, coming in the next school year. Welcome to Lexington. Principal David Rogers at the helm. Next year, Lexington's going to be a PK-5 building, which means our preschool units are going to be housed at Lexington along with the MH. And if I'm a preschool parent to be, I'm saying amen, Mr. Rome. Because sadly, right now, what we make you do is ride that bus for a long time to get to Washington. We're gonna put an end to that. So for our preschool kiddos, this is gonna be a big plus for them. Lexington's obviously a little more centrally located, so we're not gonna have kids on the bus that long. Our projected enrollment is about 474. going forward there for last year. All right, so welcome to Washington Elementary next year. Principal Michael Grijalde at the helm. Washington is going to be a K-5 building, and the projected enrollment there is about 413. That's assuming we have about 120 kindergartners coming in the doors this year, which I hope we at least have that in both of those buildings. That's my hope. All right, so here's the important thing. I'm going to try to walk my way through this here and explain this to you. We're going to shift boundaries a little bit. All right, so if I get my cursor to work here, all right, so this is Washington down here in the paint, and this is going to be the new Lexington up top here. All right, so this road right here is Beeson. So Beeson all the way across to 44 to Nemishillen is our new boundary. So if I'm north of that, Lexington, if I'm south of that, I'm heading to Washington. Okay. One of the big things we talked about is transportation. And Mrs. Sickles has done a fantastic job. I've been driving her crazy the last month organizing all this information. But here's where we're at. We only have 40-some minutes between drop-offs here in middle school, high school, and elementary. That's it. And that will continue for next year. Okay? So we're not talking about kids riding the bus for an hour here. None of that is going to be able to happen because our goal is to keep our start and stop times for the school day the same. Okay? So that was critical to me. Now, if we would have went K2, 3, 4, 5, there would have been more time on the bus. There would have been because we would have had to do some more shuttling between the two. But going back to this, this model here, we basically eliminate a lot of the questions and concerns that our parents had because of this, okay? So this is critical for us as far as what this is going to look like, okay? So it's Beeson all the way across to 44 North, just for a little tab there. And if you're from my neck of the woods of Marble, you know where I'm at here. Nemishillen going across, okay? All right. Here's the game plan. I had a lot of calls about open enrollment. Hey, Mr. Norman, my kid was an open enrollment kid in the past 5 or 6 years. Is he going to be able to stay? Well, I hope you heard me say a couple times, without you open enrollment, parents, we're in trouble. Okay? So, yes, we're going to keep you because you're already one of our numbers anyway. Okay? Once you become open enrollment, you didn't prove you're a number. So we just hang on to it. Currently, there are 19 open enrollment kids at Marble, and I'm going to reassign them to Washington. If you're one of those parents, you probably know why. Where's the majority of our open enrollment kids come from? Alliance. So we made them drive right by Washington to get to Marlboro because we didn't have enough room at the mother schools. So we assigned them to Marlboro. Now we're going to bring those back. Those folks are probably going to be pretty happy. Okay? Intra-district is another part that we have. Intra-district means I live in Washington, but maybe I wanted to go to Marlboro for some reason. Maybe my parents worked in Hartville, or it's quicker, easier ride. We have 9 intra-district kiddos right now at Marlboro. We are going to reassign them back to the resident township. So it's either going to be Lexington or Washington. Now, the Board of Education has to approve open enrollment in, which is intra and intra-district, before I can move forward with this. But obviously my recommendation is going to be to keep it. But we're going to put that on March's agenda and ask them to bless that moving forward for us. Here's another big one. Mr. Noah, how about class size? I'm extremely happy to tell you that the way things worked on our boundary, these numbers are awesome. The only way to get these better is to have one building where all the grade levels are together. That's the only way. That's it. But at the end of the day, I'm very happy with what I see right here. You see a column where it says current going down, that's what we have. Now where it says 1920, there's no kindergarten there because we don't know those kiddos yet. But I'm a firm believer in primary, which is like the K-1-2, to keep it below 24. We're right on target. Our third grade numbers are a little bit higher, but fourth grade and fifth grade are right there as well. Okay, so very happy, very excited to say we're almost exactly where we sit here today. Okay, as far as class size. So that was good news for me. So I didn't really know how this was going to work out, but I'm very happy with what I see right here. And then you see Lexington and Washington, what they're going to look like specifically as well. based on the enrollment numbers. I have some information on last year that I want to present to you tonight. I had a lot of questions about this during our meetings. A lot of those issues go away now, but still, last year is a big concern to me. We are looking at bringing the Y into new last year. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons here, a couple good ones. First thing is, we're going to extend our time on the back end until 6 o'clock at night. For parents that maybe are working a little bit farther away and worrying about where the buildings are, we're going to go till 6. Another thing is, they provide a healthy snack for us in the PM. They have a great curriculum, good program. It's a 1-16 ratio. I got a lot of calls from parents saying, "Mr. Snow, I'm just concerned the back door of Washington's always open." And they're right. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna get this as safe and secure as we can. Elijah's gonna have a point person that they hire that's fully trained and doing all these programs. They have also said, "Hey, we'll interview your current Lashley people if they're interested in working with us again next year." So we're gonna have at least 2 adults in each one of those Lashleys next year if we decide to move forward with this program. The last bullet item is maybe the most important. Our parents are gonna have an opportunity to work with Jobs and Family Services, and based on their income, they might go to Lashley for free, pay nothing, and or be on a scholarship where the dollars are gonna be reduced. And I sit on the Y board, and the one thing the board, where the Y itself is committed to is, they don't turn away people in need. And I'm proud to be on that board with what they do. And this is a program that I think would be great for our parents, because right now, we charge you $4 an hour no matter what. That's just what we do. This program is going to be extremely beneficial to our parents based on income. And I think it's a good way to go. We're still investigating a little bit. I'm very excited about what this can do. Safety and security, number one. Getting a better rate for our parents that are in need as well. I think it's going to be awesome. Some more good news, we're going to have free breakfast in both elementary schools next year. I know some people asked me about that. That was a good question. And a lot of people asked me about the migrant program. All right, first of all, are we going to have it? Well, I got sad news for you. Not only is Marlington enrollment going down, so is our migrant program. Mr. Grohol is in the house today. He's in charge of that, and he can attest to this. So I emailed Dr. Jose, who's in charge of it statewide, and I said, "Dr. Salinas, what's happening? Why are our numbers specifically going down and indoor statewide?" Here's what he said. Statewide, they're 50% below their kids last year. There's 8 programs that run in the summer. We're one of those. He closed down 3 of them last year because there just weren't enough kids. And I'll be honest with you, we're on the radar. I think we're going to be next here soon. The political climate is tough right now, and a lot of those migrant folks are staying in Georgia, Mike, or Texas, Florida. They don't want to make the run back to Ohio. And here's the other one. Farmers are choosing a different way, this H-2A route of hiring. They're hiring dads only. They're not bringing families with them. You know, if there's no families, there's no kids. All right? And that's just what's happening, right or wrong. So with that being said, I said, well, If we don't use Marlboro next year as an elementary school, is there a problem? Does the program go away? I had some people say, "Hey, if you don't use Marlboro, the migrant program's gone." That's 100% false, inaccurate. Dr. Salinas said, "Hey, Joe, we have schools that change venues all the time. It's not really a problem." And I appreciate him telling me that. I'm just hopeful that we get more kids coming back here in the spring, or we're going to be in trouble. We just don't have enough coming back. Okay, another question was, okay, what kind of cost savings do you got here? Okay, if you're not gonna use Marlboro's elementary school, what's it gonna look like? So left-hand side are positions, all right? And you know that we have 3 principals now. Next year, we're gonna have 2, all right? So I have 1 position, but 0 personnel being affected. And let me explain that to you. That's Ms. Moore, great gal, all right? She's gonna go from being a principal to being what she was prior to being a counselor. So we don't lose her, if that makes sense. So it's a position because there's dollars there, okay? There's no principal, but God bless her, we're still going to have to use her and love her as a counselor. So certified staff are teachers, we're looking at 2.5. Classified staff is 5, and non-union is 4. But the good thing that's been happening here, and we're being very blessed on this, is we have people who are retiring or resigning, and we're just not filling those positions, which has really been a blessing for us. Because one of my concerns is I don't want to lose a lot of people here. Okay, I know this is part of it. The board's been looking at the financial piece of this for a while. But as we sit here right now, there's like 12.5 positions, 8 personnel people that we'd be losing. The savings that the treasurer put together is a little over $500,000, okay, based on personnel. Now, there's no cost in here for like power or facilities or things like that. This is just staffing right now. Okay, it's a good place to start to answer some of the questions that have been out here. Okay, so another question was, hey, there's no way you're going to do it. You get this money, what's the board going to do? I can't speak for the board. That's their decision. But here's some things that I would like to see it be used for over time. Safety and security, we've been doing a ton of that. If you come to board meetings, you know, including a new SRO, which is well worth the dollars, but it's money. Building maintenance, you're sitting in a building here that still needs some loving, for example, here at the high school. Technology, we've talked a lot about that over the years. We're one-on-one, just talked about that tonight. And sadly, when you have less kids coming to Marlington, we have less money from the state coming to Marlington. Okay, that's just a given. Okay, we have no control over that. Less kids, less money. So that's another option to use there. Okay, so what are you going to do with the building? Right, what are the options? Once again, we talked about this in our special board meeting tonight. The board has to decide. But here's what I can tell you as a community. Number one, if the board says, hey, we're going to keep this for educational purposes, the building stays. And we do with it what the board said. If not, we have to offer it by law to either a charter or a community school in our district. And that's called the disposition of property or higher revised code numbers that are there. If we don't have any of those, or nobody's interested, we offer it to a political entity, i.e. Marlboro Township. And we say, hey, we're interested in talking to you about the fair market value then. That's what that FMV stands for. Or we negotiate a price with the township. You know, when I worked at West Branch down the street, we actually did that with the township. Goshen, if you're familiar with what that name was. Or it goes to public auction, or we just sell it. We work out a deal and we sell it. Okay, I know this is going on, and I'm bringing her home. So here's some important dates. For all the parents who are kindergarten through fourth grade today, we are going to send you a letter by March 15th to tell you what building you're assigned to. Now, you can tell just by looking at the map probably where you're going, but we're going to try to make it a little more official and get that to you by the 15th. I mentioned about the March board meeting about having inter-district open enrollment on the agenda. Hoping the board approves that. Kindergarten roundup. End of March. Kindergarten parents, we need you. We need a lot of you to help us make it here. All right, so spread the word on that. Intra-district forms, okay, are going to be available on April the 1st, and they're going to be due back to me by April 15th. And then finally, our intra-district open enrollment, those are like the Alliance kids that want to come, remember, or West Branch or whatever, that open enrollment policy, or that time period is April 15th to May 5th. Okay, so those are some important dates that are going to be coming. So how do I communicate this out? Got a lot of good input from parent meeting. We're going to start with an email next Tuesday, my bi-weekly Tuesdays with Mr. Nolan. We're going to give a little update on tonight's meeting. I'm going to try to put this whole presentation on the website just so folks get a chance to kind of walk through it. I hope it's somewhat self-explanatory. And I know it's probably not as good as being here tonight, but I hope it's helpful. I'm looking at doing a news and views, to be honest with you. It won't be a big one, but that goes out to everybody in the community, maybe just to kind of summarize what the game plan is moving forward. And then our annual May State of the Schools address, we'll come back and speak to a lot of it there as well. So, I want to shift gears and just speak to you on a personal level, taking it home. I do a little reading when I can, and I pulled out an OSBA journal back in August. He was talking about finances and five-year forecasts. And the quote I read said, a key role for board members to pay attention to is this third area, and it was talking about staffing, because you know about 80-some percent of our budget is in people. Historically, districts are good at adding people to meet student demand, but we're not as effective at reducing staff when enrollment is shrinking. And I got to be honest with you, this is a tough decision, but I give the board credit. They're looking at the numbers. Making the best decision with the information that's in front of them. And it's hard for me to argue when I'm looking at declining enrollment that we have and us just continuing to do business as we've been doing. For those of us that talk fiscally responsible, this is a move that the board has to be looking at. And I give credit for that. I know it's not easy. I totally get it. Here's my last slide. I don't believe personally in coincidence. I believe in God incidents. And I think the good Lord put me here for a reason. And I answered the call like Monday did. I came back to Bronte because I wanted to get back. I think the good Lord put me here to help me through these waters. I really believe that. On the left-hand side there, it says, don't be afraid to change. You may lose something good, but you may gain something better. On the right-hand side is an article from a newspaper in May of 1956. What was going on back then is we had three different townships, and they were looking at building a new high school. And there was a lot of discussion on why we didn't want to do it. Now, here's what I can tell you. I don't have a crystal ball to take you back 60 years to let you know what would have happened if this high school wouldn't have been built. I got no crystal ball for that. Got no clue. We could have been anything. Maybe eventually this would have appeared. But I do have a crystal ball on what has happened since this building was built in 1961. The last 60-some years, look at what this district has become. To me, something good was gained by that decision. And some of you have lived there for 60 years. If you're like me, you've lived there maybe 30. But at the end of the day, that change was smart, I'm sure, for those people back in 1960. What an awesome district, and what a fantastic improvement we have now in this district moving forward. I know that's been long. I really appreciate your attention. We're going to keep communicating, get the information out. So thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Okay, I'd like to recommend a motion to approve the resolution for consolidation as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Who's got the second?
Me or Scott.
Okay, this is a resolution for the consolidation. Is there any discussion? Would you like to read it? Want me to read it?
Have it up there. I lost my computer, Ms. Gaber. Left it on the stand.
Here you go. Here you go.
You got it. You'd like me to read the whole thing? The Marlington Local School District Board of Education met in regular session 21st day of February 2019 with the following members present. We'll fill in the lines. Board member, who moved for the adoption? Board member Hibb. Resolution, whereas the Ohio Revised Code 33.13.49 authorizes the board to suspend, i.e. close any school in the district temporarily or permanently because of disadvantaged location or any other cause, Whereas revised code 3319.01 authorizes the superintendent to assign students to schools. And whereas the board has determined that due to declining enrollment, financial reasons, and to better accommodate students, the students attending Marble Elementary School should be assigned by the superintendent to either Lexington or Washington Elementary School. Now therefore, let it be resolved that the Marble Elementary School shall be suspended at the beginning of the 1920 school year. And be it further resolved, the superintendent shall develop a plan for the suspension of Marble Elementary School and assignment of students to one or more other schools in the district. Be it further resolved that the board authorizes and directs the superintendent or designee to take such items as may be necessary to accomplish this action.
Any comments, questions? I have a few, but I'll let the rest of you start if you'd like.
I was taken back by the class sizes. Both of my children's class sizes, all through Washington, were larger than those class sizes. So, and that's with combination of 3 to 2.
I want to add to that, is it the current senior class, 220, would that be a rough
about,
number?
I think that's about right.
Okay, so we have 220 seniors graduating this year, and our current kindergarten with open enrollment is 132. And the first grade class is 121 with open enrollment, so we're 100 students apart. And it's not hard to do the math. If you continue that trend another 10 years, we're going to be another close to 1,000 students less, unless we have some major building or influx of people moving in. Ryan, can you tell me, I have a rough idea, but if you could just give me a rough number, when we lose students, or when a student doesn't come to our district, approximately how much do we lose in state money, the money that follows that student?
So that answer would be different, you know, year over year, because the formula funding changes year over year. If you're looking at this year's data, okay, the average, we get about $4,700 per student from the state. Now that's an average. And to put some context to that, there's weighted funding for certain students if they are in career tech programs. There's weighted funding for students who are in special education programs based on disability. And so not every student is generating $4,700, but that's the average. Some generate more than that and some generate less than that.
So 100 student swing, that's easy math. We're looking at $470,000. Difference over the course of 10 years if that funding stays the same.
If it stays the same.
And it does
change because it's based on the biennial budget by the legislature.
So okay.
It has not changed in the last two bienniums, their formula very much. But it has changed. You know, if you go back to the early 90s, now it has changed, you know, a decent amount.
Okay. I got a few more. Just jump in if you want to add on to whatever I happen to say.
One other clarifier, those are students that reside in Marlington, okay? So if it's an open enrolled student, we get $6,020 per student, okay? We also get weighted funding for if they're in a career tech program. That's the second part of funding for open enrolled in. Now, what you don't get with open enrolled in is you do not get the tax revenue from those students because they live in other school districts. And so their tax revenue continues to go, for example, if they live in Alliance, it continues to go to Alliance.
And the same thing happens when our kids leave.
Yes, when our kids leave, the reverse is the same. $6,020, which is the entire amount in this for this fiscal year of basic aid, they call it, goes to, let's say, Alliance.
But that's the state money that's following them.
Yes,
so we're not getting that state money for a kid that, say, goes to Alliance or...
No, we do not get it. It gets transferred to them at $6,020 per student. And then if they're in a career tech program, depending on the type of career tech program or classes they're taking, there could be additional weighted funding on top of that that gets transferred. But the same thing happens for us when the students come open enrollment.
Okay.
Just the reverse when they go out.
Let me follow that up with, how much do we spend to educate per student?
If you look at our last report card, which is published on ODU's website, we're at about a little less than $8,500 per student.
So what'd you say for enrollment?
6,020.
620 and
10. Yeah, for an open enrollment scenario. You know, the 4,700 is our resident student. Now, of course, we're getting tax revenue on top of that for the resident student.
So the perception that we make money off of open enroll students.
I think that's difficult. I mean, the net is positive for our district, okay? We have more open enrolled in than we do out. So we are netting, and that has been the case here going back. I went back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, and it's been that way. It's actually grown steadily wider. By that I mean more open enrolling in and less, you know what I mean? The gap is widened since the beginning of when you guys started open enrollment in the district, for what it's worth. So it's hard to say that we're, money? You know, pardon?
Are we losing money then? Is that what you're saying, that we are losing money with each open enrolled student?
Well, we do not get the tax revenue for those
right,
students.
Right, but are we losing money, I guess is?
Well, we are, the money is transferred from us for the ones that open enroll out. The ones that come in, the money is transferred to us by the state. The net of those is a positive number for the district, okay?
But you're saying it costs $8,500 to educate a student, and we're only getting $6,000 in
per
student. So we're actually
losing. Some of those could be a little more if they have career tech, if they're involved in a career tech program, it could be a little higher than $6,000.
The next clarification, the travel time. You mentioned 40 minutes.
Correct.
Is that the average time, or is that?
That's the most time we have to pick a kid up and get him to where he need to be at the building. Yeah, the average time is about 36 minutes right now, according to Mrs. Sickle.
So how's that compare? I think I saw 43 minutes is our current time. Is that the
average? I thought it was 36.
Is it 36 current?
36 current.
It's current.
Yeah.
So this is going to go up to 40.
No, what I'm saying is we have no more than 40 minutes to get kids picked up and getting back here.
Okay.
Because after we drop off at the middle school, high school for example, it's 7:35, so the clock starts ticking. We got to pick them up and get them to elementary school so that drop off at 8:25.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Anybody else want to add to that?
To be clear, we're not adding length to the bus ride.
What was the question?
It's a 36-minute average, and we're saying it, we're going to keep it at 40 or less.
It has to be less than 40.
It has to be less than that.
Has to be less than that.
Yeah.
And it's currently at 36.
So a few more. Okay. Clarification.
Mm-hmm.
The free breakfast.
Yes.
That is federal money, that is not our local money, correct?
So that's based on the percentage of free and reduced lunch in those elementary buildings. And if you hit a certain percentage, then yes, you can offer them free. That's how that works.
Okay, so
it's disadvantage is how they look at that.
Okay, so both buildings would qualify under this plan to get free breakfast for all the kids. Okay, and it's not costing us more, we're just getting the federal dollars.
Yes, essentially they will reimburse. That's how that works.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to make sure everybody knew that. Okay, I think that's all I had. Does anybody else have anything to add or question the administration?
I have a question on projected savings, which is 500,000, a little over 500,000 of personnel. Have we factored in the overall savings if we end up losing any students because of parents not wanting their students to be in a school district, in a building so far from where they live?
That is not part of those savings numbers that I put together. That is strictly based on personnel only.
Just straight personnel.
Yes. And the reason I didn't do anything with the building is I don't know how the building is going to be used. It's not fair for me to say we're going to save on utilities or other services. The feeling with supplies, you know, for the school is that the money will be spent just in different buildings. We because we still have to educate students, so the supplies and equipment and those sorts of things, there's been nothing taken, no savings projected on that. We're projecting that those expenditures will continue. I mean, there are contracted services at those buildings. They, you know, the amount of those dollars is not what I would call material, and I don't know, you know, again, until we have a decision about what would be done with that building, are we going to stop trash collection? Are we going to have a fire inspection? I didn't include any of those. I don't want to make any assumptions not knowing what may happen with the building ultimately, how it's going to be used.
There seems to be a lot of conversation on social media that parents may pull their students out to a school outside of our district. Now, are we concerned about losing more students because of that, because we're going to the two buildings instead of the three? Or we're not concerned about that?
I think that's an unknown. We're dealing with the known data that we have, and that's what we have to make the decision on. We can't guess what anybody's going to do. You know, it is a change. Nobody usually likes change, but that doesn't change the facts. And so we have to use this data the best that we have and make the best decision that we have. It's that simple, yet that complicated. There are so many factors, you can hear it. You know, I say the same thing over and over. I can't make a decision myself personally based on one factor. I have to listen to everything and weigh that and make that decision what seems best to me in that, after having weighed everything. I can't just look at one thing. If I look at one thing, I might make a certain decision. If I look at another aspect, I might make another decision. That's not wisdom to me. It's, you have to look at it all and then weigh it out. You know, we are, you know, speaking of the savings, you know, I think we would have saved more money had we stayed with the original recommendation of
You would have saved more money if you would have stayed with the grade level bands.
With the grade level bands, but
correct.
We heard from the community what a hardship that would be, and so we pivoted in that because we're concerned about that. Again, it's a weighing all the factors. You can't just look at, excuse me, one thing and make a decision based on that. That's short-sighted. And I personally cannot, that in good conscience, I couldn't do that. I can't look at just one factor.
If we're going to base this on known data, I look back and we've been very, very successful as a school district with three township schools. The community is very strong, they're very supportive, and they've been very, very successful all the way through, and we've been offering an excellent education. Why will we not ask the question at the polls for the community to vote on giving us money to repair and fix up their township schools if that's what they're telling us that they want?
Your enrollment numbers are still down. I don't understand the question. You're asking one teacher in one building to teach 12 children, and they're being paid on that, and you're asking another to do it with 26 kids?
Why are we so afraid to ask the question to the community?
Because I, for one, don't want to go back to the community and say, hey, our enrollment numbers dropped even more, and now we're closing the building that you just put $4 million in to renovate, or $6 million, or $8 million, whatever that number is.
We've been very successful with our township schools. I am opposed to closing Marlboro, and I know many of our community members are opposed to that as well.
Duly noted.
Any other comments, questions?
I think the number that hits me is that we've lost a third of our students in this district in the last 20 years. I mean, take that into account, a third. If you were running a business and you lost a third of your business, you would not run things the way you did before you lost that third of your business. You would change things. I mean, that's when that hit, I just, that hit me as a shock when that number went up last year. Taking the emotion out of it, because I know, I hear, it's my school, It was my dad's school. It was, and taking the idea that it's the township school, we keep saying that. We are a school district. We are not three townships and three school districts. We are a single school district. And so the idea of, the idea of township schools, I think, is a little dated. I think that's living in the past. I think we are one school district, one grouping, and as a board, it's not easy to say, we want to close that school. I've heard that I had some nefarious plan set out to close Marlboro in retribution for something. No, I did not. I look at numbers and say, even with open enrollment, we've lost 20% of our kids, one-fifth of our kids. And so it's not unreasonable to think we have to close a building to, in response to that. The frightening part is the projections suggest we'll be doing this again if things don't change a lot sooner than a 20-year span. And so that's the point. I mean, when I look at the numbers and I take emotion out of it, and the choice of building was the smallest building with the smallest school population, and that's historically, and you saw the education spaces as well, I think it's a reasonable one. And I really, I don't know that the people of this community appreciate it. I want to thank Mr. Knoll, Mrs. Sutton, and the rest of the administration for pulling this together in such a short period of time. To be able to switch gears a month ago and come up with this plan, I'm appreciative of it. I know how much work that was for all of you on top of what you do every day anyway. So I'm appreciative of seeing that and coming up with that. So thank you.
If I could add to Carolyn's question about talking to the community, when we had the bond issue back in the fall to consolidate a 3-to-1, I was out there campaigning for it. I thought it was a good idea. It was a way to, like Dr. Mason talked about, focus on the district and not the townships. But in essence, there's a lot of factors involved. We have declining enrollment. It's a net savings to consolidate. And when I talk to people about the township schools, there's a lot of sentiment, and I understand that there's a lot of sentiment for these township schools. And people talk about the generations of folks that have attended these schools, grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, kids. There's sometimes four, maybe more generations at some of these schools. I get it. But when I ask them, you know, they want to keep their school. I ask them, well, what point do you want to keep that move? What if the board were to say, hey, that's great, we will do that. But 5 years down the road, we are faced again with the declining enrollment numbers and an opportunity to save money and consolidate. We're at this point. Sure, we could wait another 3, 4, 5, we could wait 10 years. But then we're gonna bleed this district down to $0, possibly in the red. You can read the newspaper articles about districts being in the red, various reasons, but a lot of them perhaps could have consolidated sooner than they have. We're in a very good place now to take advantage of a situation where we have a very healthy cash balance. We're not hurting. We don't have the state knocking on our door trying to take over the school district. We are in control of our destination. And we can see the data. We can see the writing on the wall. We got to do something. We're in a position to do that, control the circumstances. And like Karen said, we listened to the community about the grade banding. We shifted gears. We pivoted. Put a lot of strain on our administration to make that happen. And that's where we're at. As responsible board members, I sure as heck don't want to be the board member that says, yeah, we kept them open for you, but now we're bone dry of cash. That would be detrimental to the district. It would be irresponsible for me as one board member to to look folks in the face, the district residents, the people that vote, and say, I want to say I'm being fiscally responsible, and to not to ignore our circumstances is not being responsible. So with that, I'll be voting to approve the resolution. Does anybody else have anything to add before we call the vote?
We've taken this to the polls numerous times, and the community has not voted one time to approve consolidation. And I don't think we should move forward with the vote. They didn't give us the approval to move forward with consolidation, so you're just moving forward anyway. I don't think that's the way to go. I think that's going to destroy your community. They're going to lose their faith and their trust in the board.
Everybody good?
Yep.
Okay, call the roll, please. We have a motion on the table for the resolution for the consolidation. We have a motion by Tom, Mr. Hipley, and a second by Ms. Humphreys. Call the roll.
Carolyn Gaber.
No.
Thomas Hipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphreys.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, it's a little earlier than normal, but it's my time to work on the name of our exchange student, but this was an easy one this time. I recommend a motion to approve Martina Campos Perez from España as an exchange student for the 2019-20 school year.
I so move.
Second.
Who had the second? I'm sorry.
Carol.
Carolyn.
Does she play basketball, Joe? Were you scouting them? I mean, we had a good basketball player.
She might be 6'2".
No, that's fine.
Any more discussion? Call roll.
Carolyn Gabbard.
Yes.
Thomas Hipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphreys.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Treasurer's agenda.
Item A, minutes. Recommend the motion to approve the minutes of the following meetings: special meeting, organizational meeting held January 8, 2019, special and regular meeting held on January 17, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Carolyn Gaber.
Abstain.
Thomas Hipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphreys?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
B, financial resolutions. Recommend the motion to approve the financial reports and overview of receipts and expenditures for the period ending January 31st, 2019 as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
These are in Dropbox, like normal.
Call roll, please. Oh, I'm sorry, any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gaber?
Yes.
Thomas Hipley?
Yes.
Karen Humphreys?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
Two, recommend the motion to approve the donations as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
I'll read those, just give me a second.
Yep.
First, we have from the American Chemistry Society a donation for high school honors chemistry to the Marlington High School Science Department in the amount of $500. Next, we have from the Marlington Vocal Boosters donation for the Vocal Disney trip to the Marlington High School Vocal Department in the amount of $2,272. And last, we have from the Washington Ruritans donation for the high school science fair, again to the Marlington High School Science Department in the amount of $200.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gaber?
Yes.
Thomas Hipley?
Yes.
Karen Humphreys?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
Three, recommend the motion to approve the fiscal year 2019 revenue budget revisions as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
The revenue revision is related to the Drama Dukes, the local Drama Dukes Club. They are anticipating more receipts this year for their the program that they're putting on. So that's the revenue revision.
Any more discussion? Call the roll, please.
Carolyn Gabbert?
Yes.
Thomas Sibley?
Yes.
Karen Humphries?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
4, recommend the motion to approve the fiscal year 2019 appropriation revision as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
The large revision here is for $115,000 in increase to the general fund, and this will be for whenever the purchase of the property on Mullen happens. And so that wasn't originally contemplated in the budget, so it's an addition.
More discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabbert?
Yes.
Thomas Sibley?
Yes.
Karen Humphries?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
5, recommend the motion to approve the purchase of 177/78 passenger bus and 165 passenger handicap bus from the truck sales and service for the cooperative bus purchase bid.
So move.
Second.
Discussion?
Mr. Jones, could you go over the details of the bus and how you came to the decision?
We talked about this last month, and then the recommendation, the request was for 3 buses from the transportation department. Traditionally, we've paid for these out of the capital improvement fund. And, you know, meeting with Joe and talking with him, and then with Mrs. Sickles, the transportation supervisor, our recommendation to her was for 2, which is what I had presented last month in the analysis. Mr. Hibbler raised a question as to why not 2 handicap buses. I did take that back to Mrs. Sickles, so to Mr. Knoll, and they settled on wanting 1 handicap and 1 regular, and I brought that recommendation back. So that's where we stand on that.
How quickly will these be?
That is
delivered?
A good question. I'm not sure how quickly they will be here.
If they're in stock, it's quick.
So they should be here much quicker than having a bus built.
Yeah. What she told me. Any more discussion?
How many handicapped students do we have that are using the handicap buses?
That I'm not sure of. I don't have that data from. I could get you an answer.
So it's been determined that we do need.
Yeah, we currently have 2 in route, I believe, and they are some of our highest mileage buses, and that is one of the reasons they want to replace one of the handicap buses.
They are our highest mileage buses.
Yeah,
I think both 165,000 miles, maybe.
One's like 200 and something.
Was it 2?
Okay. Yeah.
It's 50,000 more than anything.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabbert.
Yes.
Thomas Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Personnel agenda.
Okay. So some resignations. I talked earlier about how these are being very helpful for our plans with consolidation. So I'd like to recommend a motion to accept the resignation of Shannon Cole as an intervention teacher effective February 19 of 2019. Recommend a motion to accept the retirement of Kathy Green as a custodian effective May 31, 2019. I recommend a motion to hire the following for the 2018-19 supplemental appointment pending verification of satisfactory credentials, VSAT, and FBI checks. Those individuals as presented.
So move.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Carolyn Gabbert?
Yes.
Thomas Sibley?
Yes.
Karen Humphries?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, some announcements. Yes. March 2nd, heading into March here, the Marble PTO Pancake Breakfast from 8 to 10. On the 5th, the NHS National Honor Society induction here at the auditorium at 7 p.m. On the 12th, the Middle School High School Band Concert, 7 p.m. here as well. On the 16th, our second annual quarter auction is going to be held over at Robertson's. Hoping you can come attend. I had a great time last year. Looking to make it even better this year. On the 19th, we have our high school choir concert here at 7. On the 20th, we have our Washington Kindergarten Concert and the Band and Choir Concert as well at Washington. And the third 9 weeks wraps up on March 22nd. back at it on March 21st,
back at the DLZ.
Correct.
Unless we get a huge turnout. Okay, do we need to go into executive session?
No, sir.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabber.
Yes.
Tom Sipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Bryan.
Yes. Thanks, folks, for attending. See you next month. Drive safely.